GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. We're going to look back on quarterfinal weekend in Croker with Tomás O'Shea and Kieran Wheeling joining myself and Rory this week. Standout result of the weekend, no doubt about it. Galway beating Dublin for the first time since 2009. We won't have Dublin in the final four. The earlier game on Saturday, bit of a dour enough affair between Armagh and Roscommon where Armagh prevailed. Then yesterday, Kerry 5 points to spare against Derry while Donegal overcame Louth. So lads, three of the four games might have been a bit of a tough watch, but I do think Galway against Dublin, Tomás, felt like a game for the ages. Maybe, I don't know if this is the one that saves football and we can get into that later, but history in the making, and it was definitely the game of the weekend.
I think it was a game of the weekend because of the excitement, and unfortunately for the Dubs, it was probably because Dublin were beaten, and they've been such a dominant force for the last 12-13 years that people didn't expect them to get beaten at the quarterfinal stage. There were still many people's favourites. So for Galway to do what they did and the way it happened at halftime, I felt at the very start of the game that the Dubs were looking really sharp. They were buzzing up front. Galway were struggling to score. They were struggling to break Dublin down defensively. They were lacking penetration. They had two or three bodies up front, and the lack of movement was worrying. I think Shane Walsh was the one man that kept them in that game from play and from freeze. He was outstanding in the first half, and he was the one shining light. But at halftime, Jackie, there's no way in hell that you would have called that Galway were going to win that game. The problem, I suppose, for Dublin was they didn't kick on. Matty Tierney caught that first ball, and Killian McDaid kicked it straight over the bar, and Galway tightened up at the back. I was really impressed with their defence. Jack McGrath, Jack Glynn, Sean Fitzgerald, they were outstanding. None of the main Dublin players got into the game. Their subs that came off the bench, they started Jack, they started Paul Mannion. They were both substituted. The impact didn't come from the bench, whereas the Galway bench all had had an impact. They all scored. Tom O'Callaghan scored. Heaney scored. Ken Darcy scored. And I suppose I felt, you know, Killian McDaid got all the plaudits, and rightly so, but Pádraig Joyce, for the season that they've had, for the injuries, and we keep going on and harping about the injuries, Comer wasn't fully right. And maybe Shane Walsh has an injury. There's constantly, from game to game, there's worries. But they got it right. In that second half, they completely blotted out Dublin's key men. Brian Fenton had a quiet game, and you'd have to give John Maher huge credit for it. He was on the ball an awful amount, and Brian Fenton didn't have his usual game. And look, the Dubs were still there. You know, the last play of the game, Galway were two up. Dublin got a score. They won the next kick out. And you're here saying, Jesus, they're going to do it again. Mm. It's just what Dublin do. But they just gave away a poor ball. And Galway, to be fair to them, capitalised. I think it was a cracker of a game in the second half in particular. And again, look, we wouldn't be talking about the excitement, I would say, unless Dublin were beaten. But unfortunately for them, they were. And that's the story of the weekend.
Yeah, and that's difficult, Kieran, because everybody is talking about Dublin when people should be kind of talking about Galway and how brilliant they were. But I think it's because of what you said on Saturday night's programme, where there is an end of an era feel around this. And whether that's unfair about Dublin or not, it does just feel that when you're talking 15 years since they've been in the Final Four, Desi Farrell's comments after the game, what you've said, I think that's why we're all latching on to Dublin, because we're going, oh my God, is this it?
Yeah, listen, you can't take it away from Galway in terms of the performance. I think that has to be said. But like, I suppose from a Dublin perspective, you know, I think 10 of the starting team are 31 plus. You know, a lot of miles in the clock, a lot of medals in the pocket. And you just got a sense that, you know, Dublin have shown massive resilience and character in when it was put up against them, you know, over the last 10, 12, 13, 14 years or whatever, they were able to dig out results. You know, you always felt if it came down that last 10 minutes, you know, in Dublin were in a game, you always fancy Dublin to win it. And generally they did win it, and they had this knack of being able to win by a point or two. And it just felt, there was a sense on Saturday, you know, watching it even in studios, that, you know, particularly the way the second half was unfolding, you know, when Dublin needed to find that extra kick, it wasn't there. And they let Galway back into the game. Like, I'd agree with Tomás. When I was watching the first half, I was thinking, you know, yeah, they front-loaded the team. They were very comfortable. Galway were kind of stepping off them. I thought Dublin's structure, they had gone for Merchant as a plus one. They were pushing Howard into the middle to give an extra, you know, to back up the midfield presence on, because Galway were going long on kickouts. There was so much going well for them. Even Sean McMahon was standing up Damien Comer. You know, he was keeping them quiet. You know, Walsh had his couple of moments in the first half, but Dublin looked really in control of the game. And that's why it was a kind of a strange game in essence when they came out at the start of the second half. Matthew Tierney wins that ball, and all of a sudden Galway increased the tempo, and Dublin just struggled with that. And there was kind of signs of that in the Mayo game and the Louth game, and I just think they'd gone to the well once too many. And I think it's easy in hindsight to say, you know, you look at the impact that Jack McCaffrey had and against Mayo when he came off the bench, and even Mannion and stuff like that. You know, should Desi have held a couple back? But maybe as a management group, they felt, yeah, let's go out and try and ask questions of Galway. I put doubts in their mind. They're not fully fit. They're on their third week in a row. You know, let's try and go after them and finish them off. And it didn't happen because of Galway's resilience and courage that they thundered back into the game. But it is, Jackie, just in terms of, you know, there's no doubt, I would think that the likes of Cluxton and James McCarthy and Mick Fitz, you know, there was a lot of, there was such momentum there last year, and there was such a good feel factor around the county after the win over Kerry, that there was a collective kind of group that came back together and said, let's have another go at this. And I think that's what it kind of meant on Saturday. That's kind of come to an end. It's only natural. I think Desi touched on it. Two or three will definitely go. And then will Desi stay is the other question mark, because, you know, I think he might have been persuaded to stay on. You know, he's come in after Jim Gavin, which was a very tough task. He delivered two All-Irelands, and whether he has the appetite and the drive to hang in there. But you also have to consider that the core of the team, you know, I look at that grouping of McCaffrey, Mannion, Kilkenny, John Small and Brian Fenton, all 31, all pushing on 32, you know. That's, you know, they have dragged this group along. You know, they've been central to all the success, and they're not getting any younger either. And it's only natural, I suppose, when they've had so much success, that bit of appetite, you know, is the drive and appetite going to be there to come back to the well? So listen, it'll be interesting. It's going to be an interesting few months for Dublin in terms of the changes and what comes down the line. But as it stands, it's like my day. We're going out in the quarterfinal, and we have to.
Yeah, but you know, though, that's the hard thing.
It blows it wide open, you know.
That is the hard thing, though, Ciarán, right? Because I heard, like, Sean Cavanagh even last night on the Sunday game was saying, oh, you know, everybody wants the dream ending where you go out when you win an All-Ireland final, but you're constantly in your head saying, but what if we could win one more? What if we could win one more? Now everybody's saying, well, I don't think they can win one more. So it's I think that's a harder way to go out.
Well, at least they know. They know. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only thing, though, Jackie, like they all came back on the basis that, you know, we won it last year, so let's give it another rattle. I think what's after happening now gives you a sort of a confirmation bias in your own head. Like, at least you know now, look, maybe the legs
but
are
they
gone.
They weren't that far away,
also,
Rory.
That's the thing, Jackie. Like, it's a fair point.
Yeah, they lose by 1 point. Yeah.
It's very, very small margins, and they will, you know, they look back on it and they look at the Mick Fitz free, they look at the Cormac Costello free, that should Paddy Small and maybe come in before that. Then look at the Conor Callaghan, you know.
And I think Lee Gannon's absence is a big loss as well, Wheelo.
So there's still, like, you're not, it wasn't like maybe other teams in the past where they kind of totally folded and lost by 7-8 points. They were still there. So yeah. Dublin are still going to be extremely competitive. But I just think you have to stand back and look at the age profile of the team as well and be realistic about that.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting any younger. There's a lot of miles on the clock. And when you have 10 lads, 31 plus starting, you know, you have to be realistic that there's a change of the guard coming, you know.
Yeah. I think that's fair, Rory, isn't it? Yeah. It's just, I guess for us, for football fans, you know, and Tomás was kind of saying this off air earlier when we were chatting, I think because of the way football has gone and with some of the games that we watched at the weekend, I think the way that Dublin play football, the purists of the game would love to see football played in that attacking manner. And I'm not sure that we're going to get that with the semi-finals that we have here, because Dublin playing football have been a joy to watch over the last 15 years.
Brilliant. And they, because they've got great attacking players. But I think Kerry and Armagh have good attacking players. I think that particular semi-final, if the two teams decided to go out and actually play old school traditional football, it could be an absolute classic, because you've got great kicking in both teams. But I don't think they will. I mean, I'd be interested in the lads' views on this. Tomás?
Yeah, I think, look, I was, take the Kerry game. I felt, and I think Jack spoke about it afterwards, and he makes no bones about it, and he's dead right. He's dead right. Nobody's going to look back at quarterfinals. They have beaten Derry by 5 points and gone down the road, and we're complaining about the state of football and what the match looked like. It doesn't matter a damn to Kerry. They're into an All-Ireland semi-final, and that was the main goal for them, and I think they'll be delighted. They'll be delighted in a way that there are areas they can go after, but I was hoping... I genuinely thought, and I think it was the common perception, that Kerry needed to go after Derry early to put question marks into their heads and to put doubt into their heads, because nobody really knew after the last 6 weeks where Derry were at. But Jack had a different plan, and you could tell from Brian O'Beglich, he gave a great interview after the game, they were quite happy and quite content and fully focused on, right, if Derry are going to have men back, we are not going to kick this ball away. We are not going to run into dark alleys. We're not going to get turned over. We're going to be very patient. It's going to look terrible. We don't care. We'll be there towards the end. And that's the attitude they had. Like, but I do think, I still would argue the point that Derry could have been got at away easier. They possibly attacked him that little bit more in the second half. They could still have held their defensive shape and got at them that little bit more, because I do think Derry were still vulnerable yesterday. And ultimately, Derry couldn't score. Derry couldn't score. So had Derry had a better attack, Kerry could have been in more bother yesterday. So look, there's the common perception for some teams, not every team, but a lot of teams are quite happy to hold tough for three quarters of that game, try to stay in the games, try to stay in the match. And if a team isn't brave enough to pick you off before then they'll go at it hammer and tongs. So the last 10, 15 minutes, Derry just didn't have the answers yesterday. Kerry did. So look, I think if I suppose it's becoming more common. That's the problem. It's becoming more common. And I suppose sooner these rules are brought in and tried and tested, hopefully it would change things up a small bit.
I just wonder, though, Ciarán, to what Tomás is saying there, if it's cat and mouse we want to play and people are going to do that for 60 minutes and then only play football for the last 70 minutes, the crowds are going to keep dwindling. What do you have, like 47,000 at one game on the weekend, 49,000 on the other day? Like these, if Louth were in an All-Ireland quarterfinal 10 years ago, they would have sold out 40,000 tickets on their own. You know, you would have thought this would be a game for the ages, but I don't know, are people just turning their back on it because of what Tomás has said, that people are just not enjoying the game as much anymore?
Yeah, I think as well documented, Jackie, that he has a spectacle, the game is in trouble. And I think, you know, we kind of recognise that. We've spent a lot of years now watching crap games, do you know what I mean? And I definitely think you get dragged into a false sense of security sometimes, in that, you know, earlier in the year, the league games can be really good because teams are playing with a little bit more adventure, they're taking more risks, they're trying stuff out, see a lot more goals. But ultimately, if you look at all the teams that played this weekend, maybe, you know, apart from, you know, if you push Kerry and Dublin aside, they're all underpinned by strong defensive systems. All the teams that came into the quarterfinal, you know, and non-concessions of goals. And I think then, when you get to the knockout stages, you marry that with the fear of losing, and it becomes
very good
a point. Stalemate, an absolute stalemate. And I think, you know, it's usually positive that there's recognition, you know, and this is a serious approach by this rules group now to really look at the game, and all the proposals that they're coming up with is favouring the team in possession or the man in possession to try and speed up the game and give the benefit of the doubt to the person that has the ball in their hand. you know, where you take yesterday, for example, you know, you look at like Kerry, where Kerry did go man to man, you know, and try to press out on Derry, and Morley pressed out. But the Aaron Lynch factor of him coming up the field and just being there and available as the plus one meant that they really couldn't put, you know, if they really wanted to go after him and put energy in, there was still an overload, or they were kind of letting him have the ball and still going man to man and trying to pin them down and stuff like that. Like a simple change like that, if he wasn't able to take possession of the ball yesterday, the dynamic of the game can change greatly because they're able to chase down and hunt down and get turnovers and stuff like that. And I think the other aspect of the game is that as the year develops, as teams don't want to concede goals, they also don't want to turn over the ball, because look at the large majority of the teams that are even left. They feed off turnovers, and that's their only opportunity to execute a kicking game. You know, a fast attack is really off a turnover. So a lot of teams now are trying to, you know, control, play a much more controlled possession game, make sure the ball is dead, reset on kickouts, don't turn it over, because that's where we're going to be hurt. So, like, listen, the game as a spectacle has struggled. We, you know, this isn't a new thing in my view. For years, we've sat here on weekends after quarterfinals and said, you know, a couple of the games were awful to watch, and we get a handful of games every year that really brings to the edge of the seat. That's the reality in my view.
Yeah, but you know though, Rory, the teams that are left in it, like Donegal, actually go forward with the ball. It's not this lateral back passing thing. Like, they're one of the most attacking, athletic teams in it. Galway, you would argue, extremely athletic, very strong with forward momentum, brilliant, some of the best forwards in the game. So we're not talking about, like, yes, you're like, Ciarán is right, a lot of them have good solid defensive structures, but they're all able to play football. Like, all of these are an unbelievably talented group of teams that are left in the competition. It should be easy to sell this game as the person with the ball who wants to attack should give us free flowing game, but we're just not getting it.
No, and I think Rilo mentioned one thing there, which I think is such a key point in this. It is the defensive systems married with the fear of losing as you go further up the food chain and the games increase in their importance. That's where like teams are going to sit in, because coaches will be conservative players. I was watching Armagh Roscommon, for instance, on Saturday. And the camera kept cutting to the sideline where Davy Burke, and you could see Davy Burke saying, press, press, shouting at his players to push up on the Armagh kickout. The camera would cut to a wide shot and all the players were legging it back into their own half. So I think even sometimes when managers might want teams to be more proactive and front foot, I think there's an inherent conservatism now within the player mindset to just drift back the field. And I think initially, when a lot of these rule changes were first being mooted, I was a bit circumspect about it. You know, look, I'm watching Gaelic football long enough. I went to Kalash to Cree Street. Tomás will know about it. The traditions within it came up through Nemo Rangers in terms of Gaelic football. So I know a small bit about it. And I was kind of saying to myself, look, maybe we need to be slightly more conservative, slightly more softly in terms of the new rules that we bring in and not make too much change too quickly. I have totally flip-flopped on that. And I think they cannot be radical enough. I think whatever they do has to be absolutely radical, because I think the game is actually suffering. Like, some of the football over the weekend was diabolical. It was absolutely diabolical to watch. And people aren't fools anymore. And I think there is a responsibility. And I'd applaud Jarrett Burns to get these people on board and get these rules in quickly.
But there's one, like, to add on to that, you can still, right, you could play Derry yesterday and they are completely defensive. Kerry will face Armagh and they will be completely defensive. And they're very good and they're very organised at that. That does not mean, and Jack made the point yesterday, that Kerry were not going to be ballooning ball back into Derry's arms and let them do what they do best in counter-attack. I get that. But you can still be direct. You can still not be over-cautious and go over-back and over-back. You can still run a ball like Donegal do. Donegal don't kick it, but they can be really, really direct. You don't always have to hoof a ball. You can actually come in numbers. You can spread it wide and you can actually go forward with the ball. And that is what some teams don't do. I felt, during the league in particular, every team were trying to go forward. It mightn't be the beautiful long kick into space, grand. I accept fully that, and I wouldn't, You wouldn't coach that. You wouldn't coach them, because the danger is that if you, the more direct you are, the more chance you are of getting turned over, the more chance opposition that you'll be wide open at the back. It's happened to Donegal. So I understand why they'd be overcautious. But I think they're completely, like Kerry in that first half, were way overcautious and could have asked more questions of Derry, I feel, and are good enough to hold on to possession and still be direct in a way that would hurt Derry.
Just two things on that. Like, obviously, you look, even what Jack McConnor was saying, and you know, most teams, you're managing a team and you're going out to play against a Kerry team, you know, apart from the way maybe Dublin have played them and even possibly Mayo to a certain degree. If you go man to man and you push right out and you play an orthodox game of football and you give Kerry space and you give them their kicking game and you let them throw the ball around, you know, you're going to get your arses handed to you to a certain degree, because that's Kerry's strength. So they're being set up to counteract and stifle Kerry and actually take them out of their comfort zone and ask them questions. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. They went back to basics. But I think the other part you're saying in terms of going at them, you know, I think that's the fear of the turnover. You know, that's the fear of the turnover. You know,
like Louth, whatever it is, Louth set up completely defensive, but Kerry had no fear there. Absolutely none whatsoever. Is it the fact that they just felt that Derry are probably a better team and have more danger up front? But Kerry approach Louth, who are a defensive team, have been defensive all season, and just pulled them apart, had no fear, just went at them and didn't have that fear of being counterattacked. And I know you'd have to be careful to a certain degree. I just felt they could have gone at Derry that little bit more and asked more questions. Brian O'Begley, Paul Murphy were the only two I saw willing to take them on yesterday. And they got, like, I mean, Paul Murphy came off the post, Brian Begley got a score. I get it. You're going to have to be careful, and teams are going to set up defensively against Kerry. Armagh will set up completely defensively against Kerry. But I think Armagh will probably have a more attacking threat and a more, like, outside of Shane McGuigan yesterday, Derry didn't look like, I know the two midfielders got scores. They didn't look like scoring from the back. They didn't. Other forwards were, geez, non-existent in terms of scoring. Cassidy got a score, I'd say. Outside of that, none of them looked dangerous at all. Their bench had zero impact. Derry couldn't score, score yesterday. And I think if Kerry are as careful and as cautious against a team that will pop more scores off them, or heaven forbid get a goal, then they'll be smarting. Like, I just feel that they have it in their artillery to be a little bit more direct. I think, be cautious, yeah. But look, Jack admitted it, and he's no fool. He's a cute boy. He knows exactly what he was doing, and he was going to. He doesn't care what we say or anybody else says. It was all about winning, and it worked out for them yesterday. So, but it is, like, if you had Dublin and Kerry, I think you would have had a different match. I think possibly Galway, Kerry, you'd have a different match. But you'll have Donegal, and Armagh will play a certain way in those semi-finals. And of course, sure, why else? They'll do what they have to do to win, and that's the best way for them to win.
Well, those times have been confirmed. Yep. Rory, what have we got for the weekend?
Yeah, so Kerry and Armagh is at 5:30 on Saturday, and I think that was the one that I suppose a lot of people, Tomás was curious about, and then 4:00 Sunday what date is it? The 14th. So on the Saturday, the 13th of July, Armagh versus Kerry, 5:30 Croker. And on Sunday, the 14th of July, Donegal Galway at 4:00. Both games will obviously be live on RT.
Brilliant.
And BBC, by the way. So there'll be two. Look, we hope that we get two good semi-finals. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, the big issue for me, Jackie, is this weekend coming. Right. There's talk of it'll be near enough a sellout on Sunday. They're potentially looking at 75,000 for Cork Limerick. Hopefully the game lives up. If Cork perform, we could get an absolute belter, right? I think Clare Kilkenny will deliver as well, because Clare surely must be sick of losing to them at this stage. And you will be talking about, from the hurling pundits, high up, low down, what a weekend, brilliant matches, great, oh, colour, pizzazz. Isn't it fantastic? And then we get to the football semis and we'll be, you know.
Do you not think that there's a novelty with Donegal, Galway?
I think there is. I think there is a novelty, and I think that's absolutely to be welcomed. And there's a lot of talk about, oh, it's wide open. And Kerry have been winning wide open All Ireland Football Championships since about 1920, right?
But Rory, if I the point with the hurling, I don't think you're compa- it's not comparing like with like. I
know.
Think if there was three tiers in football, you probably wouldn't have the same fear. Teams started setting up because they were, it's an All Ireland. It's actually an All Ireland where all the teams play. So every team aren't at the same level. And then Donegal in 12. In 12 said, right, we can't beat them going man on man. Like Wheelo made the point there, they'll get their arses handed to them. So they set up a different way and they provided a template because all teams are playing against everybody. Whereas the hurling, you have the best teams playing against each other. Yeah. And I'm not sure it would have gone down the road of being as defensive if all the top seven or eight teams, and that's all it is in the hurling. The All-Ireland, the hurling is seven or eight teams, do you know?
It is. And I accept that. And I also accept that Donegal had to come at that time under McGuinness with a different type of game plan and a different approach to try and make them competitive to be able to get in there. But what's happened in the interim? The traditional powerhouses just got back on top anyway because they'll figure a way around it. Dublin's and Kerry's and Mayo's and Tyrone's, they'll have ultimately be able to unpick all of this. But what's now, what the legacy of now we have is a game that stinks, right? And the rulemakers didn't stay far enough ahead of this. Like, okay, fair enough. This was a game plan that McGuinness designed, which gave teams at lower levels the ability to compete. But ultimately, the traditional powerhouses just got back on top anyway, because that's what they do. They figure these things out. And now you're left with a game whereby it's backs and forwards, 30 players inside one half of the field, and then shifting up to the other. And we're probably going to get some of that in both semi-finals. So rulemakers, you need to act, and you need to act quickly.
I think that's fair, Ciarán, right? I think the points that Rory is making, and to a wider extent, I think what football people have been screaming all year is fair. But I still think if you look at the final four in the football championship, this is what we were crying out for. This is what we wanted. Yeah. Do you know?
I think we all accept we need change in terms of spectacle, in terms of the I don't think there's anyone who's going to argue that, and that's been done and we have to embrace that. But I would still look at the two semi-finals in an optimistic way, in that, you know, Donegal, Galway, it's actually a very tricky one to work out in terms of how even that will go and how the teams will set up. And we saw Donegal yesterday, you know, against Loud, and I think, you know, Loud probably did reach their glass ceiling to a certain degree. You know, they probably exposed that little bit of quality yesterday. I certainly felt in the first half, you know, Loud were kicking great scores, but Donegal were kicking simple scores, you know, and I certainly thought they were definitely going to kick on. And Donegal, you know, how McGuinness has set them up, they're not overly, like, they're not, it's not 2011. You know, they are playing, you know, they are attacking in numbers. They are a little bit vulnerable. You can get at them now, show that at the back. They're not as rigid maybe. Yeah, they're playing like most teams are. They're committing bodies forward. They're brilliant runners. They're obviously working on something in around the D in terms of position their players in around the D and trying to expose that space and get their kickers in there. And Galway then showed, I suppose, at the weekend that, you know, I probably questioned them. I didn't know whether Galway had a plan B, if I'm being honest, and they kind of showed they did have a plan B, and they were able to come out in that second half, and they were able to change their structure, and they were able to change their shape, and they were able to come out a bit, and they have the good quality players to back it up. So I'd be looking optimistic. I'd still be very much looking forward to semi-finals, because I think we've a massively open All-Ireland, and I do think Armagh, absolutely, we know Armagh will be fundamentally defensive. That's the way they operate, and there's been a lot of critique and a lot of talk around how Armagh play, and that's because we know they can attack, and then we know they've good forwards, and they know when they push on, they can actually play very good, exciting football. But their DNA is defense first. They've only conceded two goals against Cork, two goals against Down. Again, they're set up to not concede goals. They were frustrating to watch, I thought, against Roscommon at times, because you felt when Roscommon got the man sent off, you're thinking, come on, lads, go after this, finish them off. They're there to be done. And they still let Roscommon stay in the game, you know, until Turbot got that second goal, Roscommon was still hanging in there. And that's your biggest fear from Armagh, that it's just that maybe that over-conservatism. And I do think that Kerry will learn even from yesterday, in terms of what they faced against Derry, and they'll have Armagh well sussed out as well. And yeah, I'd be more optimistic of the of the two.
I think it's
wide open and something different, and they're novel fixtures we haven't seen. That would be, and we could get two decent semi-finals.
I do think Galway deserve huge credit. I mean, like what they achieved, there was only the third time Dublin beaten in 10 years. I think, is that Stephen Clarkson's first championship defeat since 2014? Some of the scores that that Killie McDade in particular kicked, and that one right after halftime, really set the tone. I think it's a rare opportunity for them now. I think the age profile, Wheeler mentioned about Dublin, Galway's age profile is of a similar mature level, insofar as they probably won't get too many more opportunities at this stage. They've now done what a lot of people might consider is the hard work in slaying the dragon. And, okay, could it potentially set up a repeat of the 22 final? That would, listen, I'd take that in a heartbeat. I think it would be a fantastic final. But they have a bit of work to do. Like, I mean, I know people were slagging them off post-match about some of the celebrations. But like, this was an incredible achievement. You know, they were like, who saw this coming? I think I texted G at halftime, lads, and I said, this will be over by halftime. This, like, what a turnaround. And for Galway to have gone on, I think they're a big story now in terms of the rest of this championship. But this, and I think Milo is right. I didn't want to be soundingly overly pessimistic. I think that Donegal-Galway game, you know, classic West of Ireland contest, and yeah, that one will be really one to savour. Hopefully try and get in and watch it.
Yeah, and I do think the way that they celebrated Tomás kind of brought me back to the Shawnee Shea point, Kerry against Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final, because it's not necessarily the outcome in terms of there being a trophy on the ground. It's actually for that Galway team where they are. Like, it could be a line in the sand moment for them if they go on and win the All-Ireland. Who knows? But I think it's as much about slaying the dragon, as Rory says, about anything else, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's about the voyage or the trip or the journey that Galway have been on since Pádraic Joyce has come in. If you remember back pre-COVID, Joyce came in and they were playing champagne football, and then the wheels just fell off it, and they struggled big time. And there was talks of Joyce actually leaving the job, and he came back, you know, Neil got involved, and it's been a slow burn for them, and they've struggled, but they won Connacht this year, and you could see what it meant to them to win Connacht, because Joyce has mentioned it a few times, and I'd say there's a lot of sniping within the county, and there's only one answer to that, and that's to win games. And they won the Connacht, they came along, they played the All-Ireland champions, and I suppose nobody gave them a chance. The way the season has gone for them, the injuries that they've had, the way the first half went, it was just set up for Dublin to do what Dublin do. And they came out and tore up the script in that second half, and you could see what it meant to Galway, because no one, not anybody in that stadium, there's a great atmosphere. That second half was pure championship. And it was not until the last 5 minutes that Galway poked their noses ahead, came from 4 or 5 points down. Had Dublin got a goal in that first half, it looked like this could be over at halftime. So for Galway to do what they did in the manner that they did, with all the slack that they're picking up at the moment, with all the injuries, it was, and I've said it, I've seen them, Jackie, numerous times, physically, footballing-wise, defensively set up, the couple of marquee lads up front. Galway have a team that can win in All-Ireland. I've no doubt in my mind about that. But they need a few things to be right. They need Shane Walsh to be right. They need Comer to be playing a little bit better and to come right. But nobody knows for sure what's happening in the background in terms of injuries. But no doubt in my mind, Galway have the basic material to win an All-Ireland final.
But I think when you go back, Jackie, like, I don't know if anyone remembers Galway's first league game this year against Mayo, where they were absolutely putrid. You know, they were awful that day, and you got to hand it to them even in terms of time, and they stumbled through that league campaign with injuries, but at the same time they were introducing players and getting a lot of experience into guys, and I think the knock-on effect, unintended consequence probably of that, is the bit of depth that they do have. And you look at the impact of the bench, and you look at even the changes, like defensively, Johnny McGrath has matched up to anybody that he's a prime, you know, man marker. Mulcairn was brilliant. Dylan McHugh probably in line for footballer of the year.
Yep.
John Delaney, John Daly's not not playing. I don't know whether he's injured or whether they've just, you know, he was kind of their main ball handler. But even the change that Joyce made and Keane Hearnan coming on to mark Con O'Callaghan, Con was probably the one Dublin forward that looked dangerous, and he got in and kind of nearly got that goal chance, even that switch to have that bit of depth. And then Johnny Heaney, being able to bring him off the bench, he was their player of the league. Keane Darcy. So they've the unintended consequences.
Tom O'Callaghan came on at the end there, Willow.
Like that has benefited in the long run. But I'd agree that I thought Comer was still quite effective in some of, he still made some big contributions in terms of even the turnover and the short kick out.
And he draws so much heat as well.
You know, even the HIF one that came across, it's coming across in McCarthy. Who do you not want pounding you down? It's you know what I mean? It's Damien Comer, you know. So I still think he made an impact. But you'd be concerned with, obviously, Walsh limping off, and you've sensed the Finnerty is playing through an injury, you know, probably still has a knee injury that needs to be sorted at some stage, but he seems to be able to play through it. So they're probably the little niggling things that, you know, up front. But I think defensively, they will be very, very happy with where they're at.
Okay, well, look, we are going to have plenty of time between now and then in 2 weeks to look ahead to the semi-final. So we'll leave it there for the moment, lads. And Ciarán, hopefully the Dubs will be back. Who knows in what shape or form, but the end of an era for now. And Kerry to win the All-Ireland, Tomás, yeah?
I think everybody will be saying that, but I would say that every team left in it, Jackie, will... Wait for it, right? Let's say Kerry do want to win in Ireland. The quarter final yesterday, like, everybody will say, perfect. They didn't hammer Derry. There's question marks still there. I'll be honest, it's what Kerry love. They go down that train and say, they're still questioning us. It's perfect. This is made for us right now. And they'll ramp it up. It's what they've traditionally done in the last 20 years. Quarterfinal was always the game where you didn't really know where you were at. And it was just about getting over that and say, right, here we go now. And that's exactly, and it's, Jack was involved in a lot of them, and it's exactly what they did yesterday. There was no real flair, nothing up on billboards. The other teams are going to get quietly excited. And that's what Kerry love. And they'll come hunting.
I tell you, you're the hide and seek champions of the Gaelic Football Championship.
They have the king of the eras above in Armagh. Donaghy will.
That is such an interesting subplot, Tomás, isn't it?
It is. And he does. Donaghy's cute enough, and he does know the boys inside out. But on that day, he's an Armagh man, point blank. And, you know, you have Donaghy on one side, you have Mike Quirk on the other side, as Jack put it once upon a time, two big giraffes going head to head. So it'll be interesting. It'll add an extra kind of an interest to it. And McGeaney, to be fair, has great respect for Kerry, and Kerry would have great respect for McGeaney. So I think it'll be a good build-up.
I'm only guessing here now, and I know you were playing, but is the last time you met in Championship, was that the famous day when Galvin squirted the Armagh selector with the water, or have you met in Championship since then? Do you remember that day in Croke Park?
2006, yeah.
Game
that day, but I remember in 2006 was the first time we met them in Championship since 2002. We met them in 2002 Classic semi-finals. There was a replay, and we beat them just about the second day. They came and beat us in 2002, and then 2006. We met again, and I remember it, we were well up for that match. And I remember other things. I don't remember Galvin got stuck in.
I think it was an Armagh selector.
Like,
and
myself,
I think he squirted
to be fair,
him, he squirted him with a water bottle, and next thing there was a big kerfuffle on the sideline. It was very funny.
Yeah, but it's something like Armagh, whatever way you look at it, right? They tend to get involved in that kind of stuff. They do, without throwing the cat amongst the pigeons. They do, and I remember your man had no business coming in at the water, and it was. But that's luck. That's part of it. That's the way the game has gone. But it's going to be brilliant. I think Armagh have serious footballers. Kerry have serious. It's going to. I think I'd agree with Wheelo. I think you're going to have two good semi-finals.
Yeah, I hope you're right, lads. Here's hoping we will be back to preview them in a couple of weeks' time. For the moment, though, Ciarán, Tomás, thanks a million for being with us and to everybody who listens. We will be back on Thursday to look ahead to the All-Ireland semi-finals between Clare and Kilkenny and Limerick and Cork in the hurling. So we'll talk to you then.
There's the whistle. It's over. It's over.